that kindness can thrive even amongst cruelty. She wiped away her tears as she nodded. I waited for Amryn to offer a retort, but she was only waiting. Rhys bowed his head to her.
If I had not met a tiny monster, who hoards jewels more fiercely than a fire drake.
A quiet laugh from all of us at that. Rhys smiled softly.
My own power would have consumed me long ago.
Rhys squeezed my hand as he looked to me last.
And if I had not met my mate?
His words failed him, as silver lined his eyes. He said down the bond,
I would have waited 500 more years for you. 1,000 years. And if this was all the time we were allowed to have, the wait was worth it.
He wiped away the tears sliding down my face.
I believe that everything happened exactly the way it had to, so I could find you.
He kissed another tear away. And then he said to my sisters,
We have not known each other for long, but I have to believe that you were brought here, into our family, for a reason, too. And maybe today, we'll find out why.
He surveyed them all again, and held out his hand to Cassian. Cassian took it, and held out his other for Mor. Then Mor extended her other to Asriel, Asriel to Amryn, Amryn to Nesta, Nesta to Elaine, and Elaine to me. Until we were all linked, all bound together. Rhys said,
We will walk onto that field, and only accept death when it comes to haul us away to the other world. We will fight for life, for survival, for our futures. But if it is decided by that tapestry of fate or the cauldron or the mother that we do not walk off that field today.
His chin lifted.
The great joy and honor of my life has been to know you, to call you my family, and I am grateful more than I can possibly say that I was given this time with you all.
We are grateful, Rhysand, Amryn said quietly. More than you know. Rhys gave her a small smile as the others murmured their agreement. He squeezed my hand again as he said,
Then let's go make Highburn very ungrateful to have known us too.
I could smell the sea long before we beheld the battlefield.
Highburn had chosen well.
A vast grassy plain stretched to the shore. A mile inland, he had planted his army.
It rippled away, a dark mass spreading to the eastern horizon.
Rocky foothills arose at his back, some of his army also stationed atop them. Indeed, even the plain seemed to slope upward to the east. I lingered at Rhysand's side atop a broad knoll overlooking the plain, my sisters Asriel and Amryn close behind. At the distant front lines far ahead, Helion, resplendent in golden armor and a rippling red cape, gave the order to halt. Armies obeyed, shifting into the positions they'd sorted out. The host we faced, though, they were waiting. Poised. So many. I knew without counting that we were vastly outnumbered. Cassian landed from the skies, stone-faced, all of his siphons smoldering as he crossed the flat-topped knoll in a few steps.
The prick took every inch of high ground and advantage he could find. If we want to rout them, we'll have to chase them up into those hills, which I have no doubt he's already calculated, likely set with all kinds of surprises.
In the distance, those Naga hounds began snarling and howling, with hunger. Rhys only asked,
How long do you think we have?
Cassian clenched his jaw, glancing at my sisters. Nesta was watching him keenly. Elaine monitored the army from our minor elevation, face white with dread.
We have 5 High Lords, and there's only one of him. You all could shield us for a while, but it might not be in our best interest to drain every one of you like that. He'll have shields, too. And the cauldron. He's been careful not to let us see the full extent of his power. I have no doubt we're about to, though.
He'll likely be using spells, I said, remembering that he'd trained Amarantha.
Make sure Helion is on alert, Asriel offered, limping to Risa's side. And Thesen. You didn't answer my question,
Rhys said to Cassian.
Cassian sized up Highburn's unending army, then our own. Let's say it goes badly. Shields shattered, disarray, he uses the cauldron. A few hours.
I closed my eyes. During that time, I'd have to get across the battlefield before us, find wherever he kept the cauldron, and stop it.
My shadows are hunting for it,
Asriel said to me, reading my face as I opened my eyes. His jaw clenched at the words. He was supposed to have been searching for it himself. He flared and settled his wings as if testing them.
But the wards are strong, no doubt reinforced by the king after you shredded through his at the camp. You might have to go on foot. Wait until the slaughter starts getting sloppy.
Cassian dipped his head and said to Amarin,
You'll know when.
She nodded sharply, crossing her arms. I wondered if she'd said goodbye to Varian.
Cassian clapped Rhys on the shoulder. On your command, I'll get the Illyrians into the skies. We advance on your signal after that.
Rhys nodded distantly, attention still fixed on that overwhelming army.
Cassian took a step away but looked back at Nesta.
Her face was hard as granite. He opened his mouth but seemed to decide against whatever he was about to say. My sister said nothing as Cassian shot into the sky with a powerful thrust of his wings. Yet she tracked his flight until he was hardly more than a dark speck.
I can fight on foot, Asriel said to Rhys. No.
There was no arguing with that tone. Asriel seemed like he was debating it, but Amarin shook her head in warning and he backed down, shadow coiling at his fingers. In silence we watched our army settle into neat solid lines. Watched the Illyrians lift into the skies at whatever silent command Rhys sent to Cassian, forming mirror lines above. Siphons glinted with color, and shields locked into place, both magical and metal. The ground itself shook with each step toward that demarcation line.
Rhys said into my mind, If Highburn has a lock on my power, he will sense me sneaking across the battlefield.
I knew what he was implying. You're needed here. If we both disappear, he'll know. A pause.
Are you afraid?
Are you? His violet eyes caught mine. So few stars now shone within them.
Yes, he breathed. Not for myself. For all of you.
Tarquin barked an order far ahead, and our unified army came to a halt, like some mighty beast pausing. Summer, winter, day, dawn, and night, each court's forces clearly marked by the alteration in color and armor. In the fairies who fought alongside the High Fae, ethereal and deadly. A legion of Thesen's peregrines flapped into rank beside the Illyrians, their golden armor gleaming against the solid black of our own. No sign of Baron or Eris. Not a whisper of Autumn coming to assist us. Or Tamlin. But Highburn's army did not advance. They might as well have been statues. The stillness, I knew, was more to unnerve us.
Magic first, Amarin was explaining to Nesta. Both sides will try to bring down the shields around the armies. As if in answer, they did.
My magic writhed in response to the High Lords unleashing their might, all but Rhysand. He was saving his power for once the shields came down. I had no doubt Highburn himself was doing the same across the plain. Shields faltered on either side.
Some died. Not many, but a few. Magic against magic. The earth shuddering, the grass between the armies withering and turning to ash.
I forgot how boring this is, Amryn muttered.
Rhys shot her a dry look. But he prowled to the edge of our little outlook, as if sensing the stalemate was soon to break. He'd deliver a mighty, devastating blow to the army the moment their shield buckled. A veritable tidal wave of night-kissed power. His fingers curled at his sides. To my left, Azrael's siphons glowed, readying to unleash blasts to echo Rhysand's. He might not be able to fight, but he would wield his power from here. I came to Rhys's side. Ahead, both shields were wobbling at last.
I never got you a mating present, I said.
Rhys monitored the battle ahead. His power rumbled beneath us, surging from the shadowy heart of the world.
Soon. A matter of moments. My heart thundered, sweat beading my brow, not just from the summer heat now thick across the field.
I've been thinking and thinking, I went on, about what to get you.
Slowly, so slowly, Rhys's eyes slid to mine. Only a chasm of power lay within them, blotting out those stars.
I smiled at him, bathing in that power, and sent an image into his mind. Of the column of my spine, now inked from my base to my nape with four phases of the moon, and a small star in the middle of them.
But I'll admit, I said, as his eyes flared, this mating gift is probably for both of us.
Hybern's shield came crashing down. My magic snapped from me, cleaving through the world, revealing the glamour I'd had in place for hours. Before our front line, a cloud of darkness appeared, writhing and whirling on itself.
Mother above,
Azrael breathed, right as a male figure appeared beside that swirling ebony smoke. Both armies seemed to pause with surprise.
You retrieved the Ouroboros,
Rhys whispered. For standing before Hybern were the Bone Carver and the living nest of shadows that was Bryaxis, the former contained and freed in a fey body by myself last night, both bound to obey by the simple bargain now inked onto my spine.
I did.
He scanned me from head to toe, the wind stirring his blue-black hair, and he asked softly,
What did you see?
Hybern was stirring, frantically assessing what and who now stood before them. The carver had chosen the form of an Illyrian soldier in his prime. Bryaxis remained within the darkness roiling around it, the living tapestry it would use to reveal the nightmares of its victims.
Myself, I said at last. I saw myself. It was, perhaps, the one thing I would never show him. Anyone.
How I had cowered and raged and wept. How I had vomited and screamed and clawed at the mirror, slammed my fists into it, and then curled up, trembling at every horrific and cruel and selfish thing I'd beheld within that monster. Within me. But I had kept watching. I did not turn from it. And when my shaking stopped, I studied it. All of those wretched things. The pride and the hypocrisy and the shame. The rage and the cowardice and the hurt. Then I began to see other things. More important things. More vital. And what I saw, I said quietly to him as the carver raised a hand. I think I loved it. Forgave it. Me. All of it. It was only in that moment when I knew. I'd understood what the surreal had meant. Only I could allow the bad to break me. Only I could own it, embrace it. And when I'd learned that, The Ouroboros had yielded to me. Rhys arched a brow, even as awe crept across his face.
You loved all of it? The good and the bad?
I smiled a bit. Especially the bad. The two figures seemed to take a breath, a mighty inhale that had Bryaxis's dark cloud contracting, ready to spring. I inclined my head to my mate. Here's to a long, happy mating, Rhys.
Seems like you beat me to it.
To what? With a wink, Rhys pointed toward Bryaxis and the carver. Another figure appeared. The carver stumbled back a step, and I knew. From the slim, female figure, the dark, flowing hair, the once again beautiful face, I knew who she was. Striga, the weaver. And atop the weaver's dark hair, a pale blue jewel glittered. Ianthe's jewel. A blood trophy, as the weaver smiled at her twin, gave him a mocking bow, and faced the host before them. The carver halted his slow retreat, stared at his sister for a long moment, then turned to the army once more.
You're not the only one who can offer bargains, you know.
Rhys drawled with a wicked smile. The weaver. Rhys had gotten the weaver to join us. How? He angled his neck, revealing a small, curling tattoo behind his ear.
I sent Helion to bargain on my behalf. That was why he was in the middle that day he found you. To offer to break the containment spell on the Weaver. In exchange, for her services today.
I blinked at my mate. Then grinned, not bothering to hide the savagery within it. Hyburn has no idea about the hell that's about to rain down upon them, do they?
Here's to family reunions,
was all Rhys said. Then, the weaver, the carver, and Bryaxis unleashed themselves upon Hyburn. Chapter 70. You actually did it. Amryn murmured, gaping as the three immortals slammed into Hybern's lines, and the screaming began. Bodies fell before them. Bodies were left in their wake. Some mere husks encased in armor, drained by the carver and Striga. Some fled from what they beheld in Bryaxis, the face of their deepest fears. Rhys was still smiling at me as he extended a hand toward Hybern's army, now trying to adjust to the rampant havoc. His fingers pointed. Obsidian power erupted from him. A massive chunk of Hybern's army just misted. Red mist and metal shavings lay where they had been. Rhys panted, his eyes a bit wild. The hit had been well placed, splitting the army in two. Azrael unleashed a second blast. Blue light slamming into the now exposed flank, driving them farther apart. The Illyrians moved. That had been Rhys's signal. They shot down from the skies, just as a legion rose up from Hyburn teeming with things like the Adar. Hidden amongst Hyburn's ranks, siphons flared, locking shields into place, and the Illyrians rained arrows with deadly accuracy. But the Adar legion was well prepared. And when they answered with a volley of their own, ash shafts, but arrowheads made from Faebane. Even with Nuon's antidote in our soldiers' veins, it did not extend to their magic, and it was no defense against the stone itself. Faebane arrows pierced siphon shields as easily as butter. The king had adapted, improved his arsenal. Some Illyrians went down quickly. The others realized the threat and used their metal shields, unhooking them from across their backs. On land, Tarquin's, Helion's, and Calias's soldiers began to charge. Hybern unleashed its hounds and other beasts. And as those two sides barreled for each other, Rhys sent another blast, followed by a wave of power from Tarquin, splitting and shoving Highburn's lines into uneven groups. And through it all, Bryaxis, all I could make of it was a blur of ever-changing claws and fangs and wings and muscle, shifting and whirling within that dark cloud that struck and smothered. Blood sprayed wherever it plunged into screaming soldiers. Some seemed to die of pure terror. The Bone Carver fought near Bryaxis. No weapons to be seen beyond a scimitar of ivory, of bone, in that male's hands. He swept it before him as if he were threshing wheat. Soldiers dropped dead before it, with barely a blow laid upon them. Even that fey body of his could not contain that lethal power, stifle it. Highburn fled before him, before the weaver. For on the other side of the carver, leaving husks of corpses in her wake, Striga shredded through Highburn in a tangle of black hair and white limbs. Our own soldiers, mercifully, did not balk as they ran for the army lines, and I sent a roaring order down that two-pronged bond that now linked me to the Carver and Bryaxis, reminding them, my teeth gritted, that our soldiers were not fair game. Only Highburn and its allies. Both raged against the order, yanking at the leash. I rallied every scrap of night and starlight and snarled at them to obey. I could have sworn an otherworldly, ungodly sense of self grumbled about it in response, but they listened, and did not turn on our soldiers who at last intercepted Hybern's lines. The sound, as both armies collided, I didn't have words for it. Elaine covered her ears, cringing. My friends were down there. Moore fought with Vivian, keeping an eye on her as she promised Calais, while he released his power in sprays of skin-shredding ice. Cassian, I couldn't even spot him beyond the blazing flare of his siphons near the front lines, crimson glowing amid the vicious shadows of Kyr's Darkbringers as they wielded them to their advantage, blinding swaths of Highburn soldiers in sudden darkness, then blinding them doubtly when they ripped those shadows away and left nothing but glaring sunlight, left nothing but their awaiting blades. It's already getting messy, Amryn said. Even though our lines, especially the Illyrians and Theson's Peregrines, held. Not yet, Rhys said. Much of the army isn't yet engaged past the front lines. We need Highburn's focus elsewhere. Starting with Rhys setting foot on that battlefield. My guts twisted up. Highburn's army began to move, pressing ahead. The Weaver, Carver, and Bryaxis plunged deep into the ranks, but Highburn's soldiers quickly stepped up to staunch the holes in the lines. Helion bellowed at our front lines to hold steady. Arrows rose and fell on either side. The ones tipped in Feybane found their mark, over and over again, as if the king had spelled them to hunt their targets. "This will be over before we can even walk down this hill," Amryn snapped. Rhys growled at her. Not yet. A horn sounded. To the north. Both armies seemed to pause to look, and Rhys only breathed to me, Now. You have to go now. Because the army that broke over the northern horizon. Three armies. One bearing the burnt orange flag of Baron. The other, the grass-green flag of the Spring Court. And one of mortal men in iron armor, bearing a cobalt flag with a striking badger. Grayson's crest. Out of a rip in the world, Eris appeared atop our knoll, clad head to toe in silver armor, a red cape spilling from his shoulders. Rhys snarled a warning, too far gone in his power to bother controlling himself. Eris just rested a hand on the pommel of his fine sword and said,
We thought you might need some help.
Because Tamlin's small army, and Baron's, and Grayson's, now they were running and winnowing and blasting for Highburn's ranks, and leading that human army? Jurian. But Baron. Baron had come. Eris registered our shock at that too, and said,
Tamlin made him. Dragged my father out by his neck.
A half smile.
It was delightful.
They had come, and Tamlin had managed to rally that force I'd so gleefully destroyed.
Tamlin wants orders,
Eris said.
Jirion does too.
Rhys's voice was rough, low.
And what of your father? We're taking care of a problem,
was all Eris said, and pointed toward his father's army.
For those were his brothers approaching the front line, winnowing in bursts through the host, right past the front lines and to the enemy wagons scattered throughout Hybern's ranks.
Wagons full of Faebane, I realized, as they crackled with blue fire and then turned to ash without even a trace of smoke. His brothers winnowed to every cache, every arsenal. Flames exploded in their path, destroying that supply of Faebane, burning it into nothing. As if someone, Jirion or Tamlin, had told them precisely where each would be. Rhys blinked, his only sign of surprise. He looked to me, then Amarin, and nodded. Go. Now. While Hybern was focused on the approaching army, trying to calculate the risks, to staunch the chaos Baron and his sons unleashed with their targeted attacks, trying to figure out what the hell Jirion was doing there, and how many weaknesses Jirion had learned and would now exploit. Amarin ushered my sisters forward, even as Elaine let out a low sob at the sight of the Grayson coat of arms. Now, quick and quiet as shadows. We were going down. Into that. Phryaxis and the Carver were still shredding, still slaughtering in their little pockets past the enemy lines. And the Weaver? Where was the Weaver? There, slowly plowing a slim path of carnage, as Rhys had instructed her moments before. This way, I said to them, keeping an eye on Striga's path of horror. Elaine was shaking, still gazing toward that human army and her betrothed in it. Nesta monitored the Illyrian legion soaring past overhead, their lines unfaltering. I assume we'll be following the path of bodies, Amarin muttered to me. How does the Weaver know how to find the cauldron? Rhys seemed to be listening, even as we turned away, his fingers brushing mine in silent farewell. I just said, because she appears to have an unnaturally good sense of smell. Amarin snorted, and we fell into flanking positions around my sisters. A glamour of invisibility would hopefully allow us to skirt the southern edge of the battlefield, along with Azrael's shadow as he monitored from behind. But once we got behind enemy lines, I looked back as we neared the edge of the knoll, just once, at Rhys, where he now stood talking to Azrael and Eris, explaining the plan to relay to Tamlin, Baron, and Jirion. Eris's brothers made it back behind their father's lines, fires now burning throughout Hybern's army. Not enough to stop them, but at least the Faebane had been dealt with. For now. Rhys's attention slid to me, and even with the battle around us, hell unleashing everywhere, for a heartbeat, we were the only two people on this plane. I opened my mental barriers to speak to him. Just one more farewell. One more. Nesta inhaled a shuddering gasp, stumbled and took down Amarin with her when she tried to keep her upright. Rhys was instantly there, before the understanding dawned upon me. The cauldron. Hybern was rousing the cauldron. Amarin squirmed out from beneath Nesta, whirling toward the battlefield. Shields! Eris winnowed away, to warn his father, no doubt. Nesta pushed herself onto her elbows, hair shaking free of her braid, lips bloodless. She heaved into the grass. Rhys's magic shot out of him, arcing around our entire army, his breathing a wet rasp. Nesta's hands grappled into the grass as she lifted her head, scanning the horizon, like she could see right to where the cauldron was now about to be unleashed. Rhys's power flowed and flowed out of him, bracing for impact.
Azrael's siphons flashed, a sprawling shield of cobalt locking over Rhysand's, his breathing just as heavy as my mate's. And then Nesta began screaming. Not in pain, but a name. Over and over. Cassian! Amryn reached for her, but Nesta roared, Cassian! She scrambled to her feet as if she'd leap into the skies. Her body lurched and she went down again, heaving again. A figure shot from the Illyrian ranks, spearing for us, flapping hard, red siphons blazing. Nesta moaned, writhing on the ground. The earth seemed to shudder in response. No, not in response to her. In terror of the thing that erupted from Highburn's army. I understood why the king had claimed those rocky foothills. Not to make us charge uphill if we could push them so far, but to position the cauldron. For it was from the rocky outcropping that a battering ram of death-white light hurled for our army. Just about level with the Illyrian legion in the sky, as the Adder's legion dropped to the earth and ducked for cover, leaving the Illyrians exposed. Cassian was halfway to us when the cauldron's blast hit the Illyrian forces. I saw him scream, but heard nothing. The force of that power. It shredded Azrael's shield, then Rhysand's, and then shredded any siphon-made ones. It hollowed out my ears and seared my face, and where 1,000 soldiers had been a heartbeat before? Ashes rained down upon our foot soldiers. Nesta had known. She gaped up at me, terror and agony on her face, then scanned the sky for Cassian, who flapped in place as if torn between coming for us and charging back to the scattering Illyrian and Peregrine ranks. She'd known where the blast was about to hit. Cassian had been right in the center of it, or would have been, if she hadn't called him away. Rhys was looking at her like he knew too. Like he didn't know whether to scold her for the guilt Cassian would no doubt feel, or thank her for saving him. Nesta's body went stiff again. A low moan was breaking from her. I felt Rhys cast out his power, a silent warning signal. The other High Lords raised shields this time, backing the one he rallied. But the cauldron did not hit the same spot twice. And Highburn was willing to incinerate part of his own army if it meant wiping out a strength of ours. Cassian was again hurtling for us, for Nesta sprawled on the ground as the light and unholy heat of the cauldron were unleashed again, right into its own lines, where the bone carver was gleefully shredding apart soldiers, draining the life from them in sweeps and gusts of that deadly wind. An unearthly female shriek broke from deep in the Highburn forces. A sister's warning. And pain. Just as that white light slammed into the bone carver. But the carver. I could have sworn he looked toward me as the cauldron's power crashed into him. Could have sworn he smiled. And it was not a hideous thing at all. There. And gone. The cauldron wiped him away without any sign of effort. Chapter 71. I could barely hear, barely think in the wake of the cauldron's power. In the wake of the empty, blasted pit of plain where the carver had been, the sudden cold that shuddered down my spine as if erasing the tattoo inked upon it. And then the silence. Silence in some pocket of my mind, as a section of that two-pronged leash of control faded into darkness without end, leaving nothing behind. I wondered who would carve his death in the prison. If he had perhaps already carved it for himself on the walls of that cell. If he had wanted to make sure I was worthy, not to taunt me, but because he wanted his end. He wanted his end to be worth carving. And as I gazed at that decimated part of the plain, the ashes of the Illyrian still raining down, I wondered if the carver had made it.
to wherever he had been so curious about going.
I sent up a quiet prayer for him, for all the soldiers who had been there and were now ash on the wind. Sent up a prayer that they found it everything they'd hoped it would be. It was the Illyrians who drew me out of the quiet, the ringing in my ears. Even as our army began to panic in the wake of the cauldron's might, the remaining bulk of the Illyrian legions reformed their lines and charged ahead, Theseus' peregrines wholly interspersed with them now. Geryon's human army, made up of Grayson's men and others, to their credit, they did not falter, did not break, even as they went down one by one. If the cauldron dealt another blow... Nesta had her brow in the grass as Cassian landed so hard the ground shuddered. He was reaching for her as he panted.
What is it? What?
It's gone quiet again, Nesta breathed, letting Cassian haul her into a sitting position as he scanned her face. Devastation and rage lay in his own. Did he know? That she had screamed for him, knowing he'd come? That she'd done it to save him? Rhys only ordered him,
Get back in line. The soldiers need you there.
Cassian bared his teeth.
What the hell can we do against that?
I'm going in,
Asriel said.
No,
Rhys snapped. But Asriel was spreading his wings, the sunlight so stark on the new slashing scars down the membrane.
Chain me to a tree, Rhys, Asriel said softly. Go ahead.
He began checking the buckles on his weapons.
I'll rip it out of the ground and fly with it on my damned back.
Rhys just stared at him, the wings, then the decimated Illyrian forces. Any chance we had of victory?
Nesta wasn't going anywhere. She could barely stay sitting. And Elaine?
Amryn was holding Elaine upright as she vomited in the grass. Not from the cauldron, but pure terror. But if we didn't stop the cauldron before it refilled again, we'd be gone within a few more strikes. I met Amryn's gaze. Can it be done? With just me? Her eyes narrowed.
Maybe.
A pause.
Maybe. It never specified how many. Between the two of us, it could be enough.
I eased to my feet. The view of the battle was so much worse standing. Helion, Tarquin, and Kalia struggled to hold our lines. Geryon, Tamlin, and Baron still battered the northern flank while the Illyrians and Peregrine slammed back the aerial legion. Kyr's Darkbringers now little more than wisps of shadow amid the chaos. But it was not enough. And Hybern's sheer size. It was beginning to push us back. Beginning to overwhelm us. Even by the time Amryn and I crossed the miles of battlefield, what would be left? Who would be left? There was another horn then.
I knew it did not belong to any ally.
Just as I knew Highburn had not only picked this battlefield for its physical advantages, but geographical ones. Because toward the sea, sailing out of the west, out of Highburn, an armada appeared.
So many ships, all teeming with soldiers.
I caught the look between Cassian, Asriel, and Rhys as they beheld the other army sailing in. At our backs. Not another army. The rest of Highburn's army.
We were trapped between them. Amryn swore. We might need to run, Rhysand, before they make landfall. We could not fight both armies. Couldn't even fight one. Rhys turned to me.
If you can get across that battlefield in time, then do it. Try to stop the army, the king. But if you can't, when it all goes to hell, when there are none of us left.
Don't, I begged him. Don't say it.
I want you to run. I don't care what it costs. You run. Get far away and live to fight another day. You don't look back.
I began to shake my head. You said no goodbyes.
Asriel,
Rhys said quietly, hoarsely.
You lead the remaining Illyrians on the northern flank.
guilt. Guilt and fear rippled in my mate's eyes at the command, knowing that Azriel was not fully healed. Azriel didn't give Rhys a chance to reconsider. Didn't say goodbye to any of us. He shot into the sky, those still healing wings beating hard as they carried him toward the scrambling northern flank. That armada sailed nearer. Highburn, sensing their reinforcements were soon to make landfall, cheered and paused. Hard, so hard, the Illyrian lines buckled. Azriel sailed closer and closer to them, siphons trailing tendrils of blue flame in his wake. Rhys watched him for a moment, throat bobbing before he said,
"Cassian, you take the southern flank."
This was it. The last moments. The last time I would see them all. I wouldn't run. If it all went to hell, I would make it count and use my own last breath to get that army and king wiped off the earth. But right now, Highburn's armada sailed directly for the distant beach. If I didn't go now, I'd have to charge right through them. The Weaver was already slowing on the eastern front, her death dance hindered by too many enemies. Bryaxis continued to shred through the lines, swaths of the dead in its wake. But it was still not enough. All that planning, it was still not enough. Cassian said to Rhys, to me, to Nesta,
"I'll see you on the other side."
I knew he didn't mean the battlefield. His wings shifted, readying to lift him.
A horn blast cleaved the world. A dozen horns lifted in perfect, mighty harmony.
Rhys went still, utterly still at the sound of those horns from the distance. From the east. From the sea. He whipped his head to me, grabbed me by the waist, and hauled me into the sky. A heartbeat later, Cassian was beside us, Nesta in his arms, as if she'd demanded to see. And there, sailing over the eastern horizon, I did not know where to look. At the winged soldiers, thousands upon thousands of them, flying straight toward us high above the ocean, or the armada of ships stretching away beneath them. More than Highburn's armada. Far, far more. I knew who they were the moment the aerial host's white feathered wings became clear. The Seraphim. Draken's Legion. And in those ships below? So many different ships. 1,000 ships from countless nations, it seemed. Miriam's people. But the other ships? Out of the clouds, a tan-skinned, dark-haired Seraphim warrior soared for us. And Rhys's choked laugh was enough to tell me who it was, who now flapped before us, grinning broadly.
"You could have asked for aid, you know,"
drawled the male. Draken.
"Instead of letting us hear of all this through the rumor mill, seems we arrived just in time."
"We came looking for you, and found you gone,"
Rhys said, but those were tears in his eyes.
"Makes it hard to ask someone for aid."
Draken snorted.
"Yes, we realized that. Miriam figured it out. Why we hadn't heard from you yet?"
His white wings were almost blindingly bright in the sun.
3 centuries ago, we had some trouble on our borders, and set up a glamour to keep the island shielded, tied to, you know, so that anyone who approached would only see a ruin and be inclined to turn around."
He winked at Rhys.
"Miriam's idea. She got it from you and your city."
Draken winced a bit.
"Turns out it worked too well, if it kept out both enemies and friends."
"You mean to tell me,"
Rhys said softly,
"that you've been on Cretea this entire time?"
Draken grimaced.
"Yes. Until we heard about Highburn. About Miriam being hunted again."
"By Jurian." The prince's face tightened with rage, but he surveyed me, then Nesta and Cassian with a sharp-eyed scrutiny.
Shall we assist you or just flap here talking?
Rhys inclined his head.
At your leisure, Prince.
He glanced to the armada now aiming for Hybern's forces.
Friends of yours?
Draken's mouth quirked to the side.
Friends of yours, I think.
My heart stopped.
Some of Miriam's boats are down there. She's with them, but most of that came for you.
What? Nesta said sharply, not quite a question. Draken pointed to the ships.
We met up with them on the flight here, saw them crossing the channel, and decided to join ranks. It's why we're a little late, though we gave them a bit of a push across.
Indeed, wind was now whipping at their white sails, propelling those boats faster and faster toward that Hybern armada. Draken rubbed his jaw.
I can't even begin to explain the convoluted story they told me, but...
He shook his head.
They're led by a queen named Vasa.
I began crying.
Who apparently was found by...
Lucien? I breathed.
Who?
Draken's brows narrowed.
Oh, the male with the eye. No, he met up with them later on, told them where to go. To come now, actually. So pushy, you Prithian males. Good thing we, at last, were already on our way to see if you needed help.
Who found Vasa? Nesta said with that same flat tone, as if she somehow already knew. Closer. Those human ships sailed. So many. So many, bearing a variety of different flags that I could just start to make out, thanks to my fey sight.
He calls himself the Prince of Merchants,
Draken said.
Apparently he discovered the human queens were traitors months ago, and has been gathering an independent human army to face Hybern ever since. He managed to find Queen Vasa, and together they rallied this army.
Draken shrugged.
He told me that he's got three daughters who live here, and that he failed them for many years, but he would not fail them this time.
The ships at the front of the human armada became clear, along with the gold lettering on their sides.
He named his three personal ships after them,
Draken said with a smile. And there, sailing at the front, I beheld the names of those ships. The Feyre, the Elaine,
and leading the charge against Hybern, flying over the waves, unyielding and without 1 ounce of fear, the Nesta.
With my father, our father, at the helm. Chapter 72. The wind whipped away the tears rolling down Nesta's face at the sight of our father's ships. At the sight of the ship he'd chosen to sail into battle, for the daughter who had hated him for not fighting for us, who had hated him for our mother dying, for the poverty and the despair and years lost. Draken said dryly,
I take it you're acquainted?
Our father, gone for months and months with no word. He had left, my sisters had once said, to attend a meeting regarding the threat above the wall. At that meeting, had it become clear that we had been betrayed by our own kind? And had he then departed, under such secrecy he would not risk the messages to us falling into the wrong hands, to find help? For us? For me and my sisters? Rhys said to Draken,
Meet Nesta, and my mate, Feyre.
Neither of us looked to the prince. Only at our father's fleet, at the ships he'd named in honor of us.
Speaking of Vasa,
Rhys said to Draken,
was her curse ended?
The human armada and the Hybern host neared, and I knew the impact would be lethal. Saw Hybern's magic shields go up. Saw the Seraphim raise their own.
See for yourself,
Draken said. I blinked at what began to shoot between the human boats. What soared over the water, fast as a shooting star, spearing for Hybern. Red and gold and white, vibrant as molten metal.
I could have sworn Hybern's fleet began to panic as it broke from the lines of the human armada and closed the gap between them. As it spread its wings wide, trailing sparks and embers across the waves, and I realized what, who, now flew at that enemy host. A firebird, burning as hot and furious as the heart of a forge. Vasa, the lost queen.
Rhys kissed away the tears sliding down my own face as that firebird queen slammed into Hybern's fleet. Burning husks of ships were left in her wake. Our father and the human army spread wide to pick off the others. Rhys said to Draken, "Get your legion on land." A slim chance. A fool's chance of winning this thing. Or staunching the slaughter. Draken's eyes went glazed in a way that told me he was conveying orders to someone far away. I wondered if Nefel and her wife were in that legion. If the last time they had drawn swords was that long-ago battle at the bottom of the sea. Rhys seemed to be thinking of the past, too, because he muttered to Draken over the din exploding off the sea and the battle below. "Jirion is here." The casual, cocky grace of the prince vanished. Cold rage hardened his features into something terrifying, and his brown eyes, they went wholly black. "He fights for us." Draken didn't look convinced, but he nodded. He jerked his chin to Cassian.
"I assume you're Cassian?"
The general's chin dipped. I could already see the shadows in his eyes at the loss of those soldiers.
"My legion is yours. Command them as you like."
Cassian scanned our foundering host, the northern flank that Asriel was reassembling, and gave Draken a few terse orders. Draken flapped those white wings, so stark against his honey-brown skin, and said to Rhys,
"Miriam's furious with you, by the way. 351 years since you last visited. If we survive, expect to do some groveling."
Rhys rasped a laugh.
"Tell that witch it goes both ways."
Draken grinned, and with a powerful sweep of his wings, he was gone. Rhys and Cassian looked after him, then at the armadas now engaged in outright bloodshed. Our father was down there. Our father, who I had never seen wield a weapon in his life. The Firebird rained hell upon the ships. Literally, burning molten hell as she slammed into them and sent their panicking soldiers to the bottom of the sea.
"Now," I said to Rhys, "Amryn and I need to go now." The chaos was complete. With a battle raging in every direction, Amryn and I could make it. Perhaps the king would be preoccupied.
Rhys made to shoot me back down to the ground where Amryn and Elaine were still waiting. Nesta said,
"Wait."
Rhys obeyed. Nesta stared toward that armada, toward our father fighting in it.
"Use me as bait."
I blinked at the same moment Cassian said,
"No."
Nesta ignored him.
"The king is probably waiting beside that cauldron. Even if you get there, you'll have him to contend with. Draw him out. Draw him far away. To me."
"How?" Rhys said softly.
"It goes both ways,"
Nesta murmured, as if my mate's words moments before had triggered the idea.
"He doesn't know how much I took. And if I can make it seem like I'm about to use his power, he'll come running, just to kill me."
"He will kill you,"
Cassian snarled. Her hand clenched on his arm.
That's where you come in.
To guard her, protect her, to lay a trap for the king.
"No,"
Rhys said. Nesta snorted.
"You're not my High Lord. I may do as I wish. And since he'll sense that you're with me, you need to go far away too."
Rhys said to Cassian,
"I'm not letting you throw your life away for this."
I was inclined to agree.
Cassian surveyed the depleted Illyrian lines, now holding strong as Azrael rallied them.
Az has control of the lines.
I said no,
Rhys snapped. I'd never heard him use that tone with Cassian.
With any of them.
Cassian said steadily,
It's the only shot we have of a diversion. Luring him away from that cauldron.
His hands tightened on Nesta.
You gave everything, Rhys. You went through hell for us. For 50 years.
He'd never addressed it. Not fully.
You think I don't know what happened? I know, Rhys. We all do. And we know you did it to save us. Spare us.
He shook his head, sunlight glinting off that dark winged helmet.
Let us return the favor. Let us repay the debt.
There is no debt to repay.
Rhys's voice broke. The sound of it cracked my heart.
Cassian's own voice broke as he said, I never got to repay your mother for her kindness. Let me do it this way. Let me buy you time.
I can't.
I wasn't sure if in the entire history of Illyria there had ever been such a discussion.
You can,
Cassian said gently.
You can, Rhys.
He gave a lazy grin.
Save some of the glory for the rest of us.
Cassian.
But Cassian asked Nesta, Do you have what you need?
Nesta nodded. Amryn showed me enough. What to do to rally the power to me. And if Amryn and I could control the cauldron between us, that distraction they'd offer. Nesta looked down to Elaine, our sister monitoring the bloodbath ahead. Then to me. She said quietly, Tell Father, thank you. She wrapped her arms tightly around Cassian, those gray-blue eyes bright. Then they were gone. Rhys's body strained with the effort of not going after them, as they soared for a copse of trees far behind the battlefield.
He might survive, I said softly.
No,
Rhys said, flying us down to Amryn and Elaine.
He won't.
I had Rhys move Elaine to the farthest reaches of our camp, and when he returned, my mate only pressed a kiss to my mouth before he took to the skies, spearing for the heart of the battle, the heaviest fighting. I could barely stand to look, to see where he landed. Alone with Amryn, she said to me, Shield us from sight and run as fast as you can. Don't stop. Try not to kill. It'll leave a trail. I nodded, checking my weapons. The seraphim were soaring overhead now, wings bright as the sun on snow. I settled a glamour around us, veiling us and muffling our sounds.
Quickly, Amryn repeated, silver eyes churning like thunderclouds.
Don't look back.
So I didn't.
Chapter 73. The cauldron had been nestled in a craggy overlook. The weaver had done her job well. Key guards and posts were little more than wet, red piles of bone and sinew. And I knew that when I saw her again, she would be even more blindingly beautiful. Amryn's power flared again and again, breaking through wards in our path until we reached Striga's wake. Whatever spells the king had laid, Amryn was prepared for them, hungry for them. She shattered them all with a savage smile. But the Grey Hill was crawling with Hybern commanders, content to let their underlings fight, waiting until the killing field had sorted the grunts from the true warriors. I could hear them hissing about who on our side they wanted to personally take on. Helion and Tarquin were two of the most frequent wishes. Tamlin was the other. Tamlin for his two-faced lying,
and Jurian. How they would suffer. Varian, Azriel,